seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Isaiah chapter 45 and the second verse. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 2. I will go before thee and make thee crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 45 and the second verse. I will go before thee and make thee crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. This is what the Lord promised that he would do for his dear people here in Isaiah's day. And do we not need the Lord to fulfill such a blessed and sacred word in this dark and solemn day in which we live? Those of you who are present this morning will know that we looked at that first clause, I will go before thee. And oh, may the Lord favour us to see him going before us, both in our soul's experience, in our own pathways, and may it be so as a church and people. Just one further, we looked at many cases in the Word of God this morning, how the Lord went before Jacob and the brethren, sending Joseph down into Egypt. We looked at how the Lord wonderfully went before the children of Israel, the fiery, cloudy pillar. We looked how the Lord went before dear Joshua and leading the children of Israel. And we looked at the dear Redeemer going before his dear disciples into Galilee. And then in conclusion, we looked at the dear Redeemer going into heaven to prepare a place for his dear people. There's one case that just rests upon me as we venture this afternoon, and that was in the case of the servant of Abraham when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. And you read closely through that 24th chapter of Genesis how wonderfully the Lord went before him. First in giving to the dear servant that prayer that he should pray, that Rebecca might come forth, and how wonderfully the Lord went before and caused her to come forth to draw water, and how he went before the Lord did, before the dear servant, in causing her to go with him to Isaac. And too, how the Lord wonderfully went before as he went to rehearse his errand in the house of Laban and Bethuel. But I want us help just briefly, as we have the ordinance to attend to go a little further with the text. He says, I will go before thee. Notice how personal it is. And make the crooked places straight. This is what the Lord's promise that he would do for his dear people here and for Cyrus as he goes before them. And oh, do we not need the Lord to fulfill it today? There may be those of you that have got many crooked places, but let us begin in our own hearts. Let us look at it simply. First of all, something that's crooked is not in alignment, is it? And we need to weigh that, lay that to heart. You see, that which is crooked is not straight, is not aligned. And when we look within our own hearts, so often there's so many crooked things in us, isn't there? The hardness of our hearts. Oh, who can make that crooked hardness that you may have and I in our hearts straight? It's only the Lord that can do it, isn't it? And he has promised to do that here. To make it straight. To bring us away from our hard heart, to have a heart of flesh and of feeling. What does he say in Ezekiel's prophecy? I will take away the stony heart and I will give them a heart of flesh. You see, the Lord alone knows how to make that crooked which is in us straight. And then there's the crookedness of unbelief that's so often in us, isn't it? We cannot get rid of it in and of ourselves. I was thinking while you were singing of that word in Jeremiah chapter 10, and he says this, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And oh, may the Lord remove those crooked things of unbelief in us when we're so often doubting, aren't we? It's like Thomas. You think of that dear man. He was one that knew the Lord and loved his dear Redeemer, but after the resurrection he'd heard from the other disciples that Christ had risen. And look at the unbelief there was in him. He wouldn't believe what they said. And what does he say? Except I put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And the Saviour knew exactly how to make that crooked, which had been so crooked, straight. And he says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. And put it in the print of the nails, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And then he said this, and be not faithless, but believing. You know, it's a wonderful word, isn't it? May the Lord speak it to each of us this afternoon. Be not faithless, but believing. And what was the result of it? The Lord made in Thomas that which was so crooked straight, didn't he? What did Thomas say from the depths of his soul? My Lord and my God. And you know that came out of a very soft-hearted Thomas. Oh, it did. And there are many things that as we look within our own hearts that seem so crooked. There's all that sin that plagues us. And you feel so often, if only I could have it removed, that there might be peace within my soul. You may cry and you may shout, and there are times where he seems to shut out your prayer. But oh, if the Lord grant to us a taste of his forgiving love, his pardoning mercy, and oh, how all those sins can be removed in a moment. Oh, I think of that beautiful word, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. You know, if the Lord speak that to you, all that sin that troubles you and that seems so crooked to be removed in a moment. But then we think of the pathways of the Lord's dear people. You know, that word has kept with me. I don't know why, but so much during the service this morning, I didn't mention it. And since I came back this afternoon, what we read concerning the children of Israel, ye have not walked this way heretofore. And it may be there are those of you in your circumstances, in your providence, or in your pathway, and there's those things that seem so crooked. And you have to beg of the Lord to come and make them straight. We think of that beautiful word in the 42nd chapter where the Lord spoke, didn't he, the parallel word. And I will bring the blind by way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. But there's two cases that one would just briefly name in the Word of God that seem so crooked, and yet the Lord wonderfully made them straight. The first is going back to Genesis, what I mentioned a little this morning of the case of Joseph. You look when those brethren, his brothers, cast him down into the pit. They wanted to destroy him, but God had got a wondrous work for him to do. They couldn't, and they were not permitted by the God of heaven to destroy him. Though their enmity and evil in their hearts was so against him. And you may say, and no doubt Joseph did as he was in that pit, knowing not what was going to happen. How can ever this be made straight? And the same applied with his godly father, who loved dear Joseph so much, didn't he? And in some ways we may say he made too much of it. We need a lot of grace that we don't esteem one of our children above others. But you think of Joseph being taken down into Egypt. And there in Potiphar's house, it seemed a crooked place, didn't it? And yet, the house of Potiphar prospered while Joseph was there. And then, of course, he was falsely accused and cast into the prison. We look at it and we can know what the issue was, but when he was in it, it was a very crooked place. Oh, it was. And there in the prison, so much took place there, and it looked so crooked, but you know, who was to make it straight? The Lord was, wasn't he? What does it say in our text? I will go before thee and make. And he has all power. This is what so rested upon me. He has all power to make it straight. What do we read in Ecclesiastes? Who can make that straight which God hath made crooked? They cannot. And who can make that which is so crooked straight? Only the Lord. And you look how the Lord did it with Joseph. When he was brought into Pharaoh's palace, oh, he could see then, and in the interpreting of the dreams, who alone could make it all straight. And the Lord did. No man did. And why does the Lord do it? That he might have the glory. He might have the praise. And dear Joseph could praise the Lord. And so could Jacob later on, couldn't he? And even the brethren had to come to him. I quoted it this morning. He said to them, didn't he? Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And there are things that we come into that we may think, well, they're for evil. But you know, God can make them work for good. I think of that beautiful word. It's been sweet to me this week, really. What Paul said to the Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. But the second case that seemed to rest upon me regarding this crooked place being made straight was the dear Apostle Paul when he was cast into the jail at Philippi. There was the dear man who had been preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, and if ever a man exhorted the dear Lord Jesus and lift Christ high upon the gospel pole, the dear apostle did. But where did it bring him? Into the prison, where he was beaten. His feet were put in the stocks, the chains on him. How could this ever work together for good? Well, the Lord was to do it, wasn't it? How could ever this crooked place be made straight? And you see, we read in this beautiful 45th chapter this afternoon the great power of the God of heaven. And he was to make it straight. And how did the Lord do it? He sent an earthquake to do it. And you look at what came out of that crooked place. Not just Paul and Silas being brought out, but the jailer and all his household. Brought to believe in the God of heaven. What a wondrous day it was, wasn't it, in the Church of God? Oh, may we see in our little denomination and among us as a flock, and well, I'll take it even further. There's a lot of crooked things in this nation, isn't there? May it be laid in our hearts that we might plead with the God of heaven to make that which is so crooked straight. Because he's able. Oh, you think of that word in the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able. You think of it. Able, you see. What do we sing in the hymn? An able, willing Saviour too. And make the crooked places straight. Now, you may have some crooked things you're walking in today. You look at them, and we so often look at them by carnal reasoning, don't we? But think of what dear Mr. Hart said concerning the birth of Christ. And as we come into this season of the year, what did he say? Bow down, sense and reason. Faith only reigns here. And oh, you think, poor soul, this afternoon, those crooked things that you're in, sense and reason says, oh, but they can never be made straight. But the Lord can make them straight. And he can do it in a moment. Oh, he can. Whether it be in your soul, in your circumstances, in your family, or in the Church of God. This is why we should commit all things into his blessed hands. Think of what Joseph said, just to step back to him, when Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have heard that thou canst interpret dreams. And what did Joseph say? It is not in me. God shall give unto Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's not in me. The Lord was to do it, you see. Oh, he was. And you look how the Lord did wonderfully do it. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Those crooked places, those bends in the pathway that you walk through, you cannot see your way in them. Those things that you feel to be against you, like Jacob did when he said, all these things are against me. But they weren't really, were they? The Lord was to make it all straight. And you go to chapter 45 of Genesis. I referred to one thing in it this morning, but you look at that beautiful word when he saw the wagons coming from Egypt to fetch him. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel said, it is enough. The dear man knew what it was to see it all made straight, he did. But then we read the second thing that the Lord, and I shall have to leave that first part for your meditation, but the second thing he says here, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now, let us remember that the dear people of Israel, of God, were in Babylonish captivity. And in Babylon, and I read in the history of Babylon recently, and I thought it was a wonderful thing when this text came. I understand that around the city of Babylon, with the walls all on all sides, the four sides of it, there are 100 gates of brass, or there were in the scriptural day, and they were all made of solid brass, 100 of them. So when the Lord spoke this word, it must have been a wonderful word, you see, because there they were bound in the city, under captivity. And yet the Lord says, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. He was to overcome all those gates that kept them in the city. Break them in pieces. And this is just what the Lord did to deliver them. And you think about that in a natural way. It looked an impossibility. How could they ever be delivered from the bondage? Now there may be many gates of brass that are surrounding you. They're hemming you in. There's Satan. There's our unbelief. There's our own carnal heart. There's man. And we could go on with a list. But you see, the Lord was to go before them and to break in pieces these gates of brass. You cannot break them, can you? Those impossibilities that you have, as the dear souls in bondage looked at all these gates, however shall we ever be set at liberty? What do we think of that beautiful word that the hymn writer spoke of, and to the Saviour said it himself? If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. The way to liberty is found, the Son shall make you free. You see, God sent his beloved Son to set free the captives. And here, while Cyrus to enter into the city to deliver them, needed to go through those gates of brass. And of course the final deliverance from the city was made under Darius. But you see, it was the Lord that was to do this. The wonders God alone can do. It's a beautiful word, that is, we sing it now, the wonders. And here you look at this, and you may look at your lot, and you may say, "Ah, but Lord, it's impossible." It is with you, it is with me. But all things are possible with God. You think concerning the glorious birth of the dear Redeemer. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, didn't he? He conveyed it to Elizabeth, that all things are possible with the Lord. Nothing is too hard for him. Well, I must leave it because of the time, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this text, if nothing that I've rambled round today. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now, poor soul, if this is of God and you approve me in this, he will fulfill it in every jot and tittle. But I'll just give a word of warning. We may need much patience to wait for it. The Lord has an appointed time to fulfill his promises and to bring them to fruition. And I close with this. A time he has set to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to show his goodwill. Be patient and steady, and wait on him still. Amen.